you're serious about private label and getting into private label and advancing with private label very, very quickly, here's a great opportunity. And there's only 9 slots left. So it's not like, hey, think about it. This is a pull the trigger if you're in and get in fast. It's Amazing Freedom Private Label Retreat in Breckenridge, Colorado, May 19th. Through the 22nd of 2017. You're responsible for your airfare to get to Denver and your way home. That's what you have to worry about. The rest is taken care of. All transportation, all meals, all housing. Oh, the house? It's a 15,000 square foot home. Yep, 15,000 square foot home. First class meals catered by an executive chef on site. He will make it right there for you. We've got private label 101 to 10001. I mean, it's everything you need. Finding products, bringing products to market. It's one-on-one personal training. It's a handful of people. There's only 9 slots left. Andy Slammons, Nate Slammons, Liron Hirschkorn will be there to help you be successful. This is not cheap, but it is advanced and it's compressed into a couple days. Here's the other great thing. Andy's going to partner with you on a couple products while you're there. So you have an opportunity to get into the private label game with Andy. If you're interested, there's no time to wait because there's only 9 slots left. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat. AmazingFreedom.com/retreat.
Welcome to the e-commerce momentum podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce momentum podcast. This is episode 172, Dan Wentworth. You know, I love this interview because Dan is a man who has figured it out. Now, what's cool is he has not just figured it out. He figured it out quite a long time ago, took a chance, but he had buy-in from a spouse. And I think that that's something that if you do not have that in your relationship, do not move forward. You must have everybody rowing the same way, because otherwise that conflict will just make things so much more difficult for you. Anyway, you know, Dan was doing arbitrage way back at scale on eBay. Well over $1 million on eBay, as we all know, is a lot of work. It's a big challenge. And he tackled it at scale, arbitraging brand new merchandise back then. And I just think it's such a great story. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the e-commerce momentum podcast. And man, I am so excited about tonight's interview because we have not met face-to-face, although we will be within the next couple months, and I'm very excited about it. But we met via Facebook, which is a lot of how we meet a lot of the guests on my show. And there was a connection that I was able to help him with. And it's more I've talked with him, I like the story. And you know me, I'm all about the story. And I'm just so excited to have Dan Wentworth with us tonight. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I've heard so many of your interviews, so I'm glad to partake.
Well, that's very kind. You sent me some very nice comments, and I do appreciate that. There's a Boston type of accent I hear. Are you in Maine, or where, Massachusetts? Where are you at?
I'm in Massachusetts, probably half an hour south of Boston.
Ah, there it is, south of Boston.
And I don't hear the accent myself, but I was out in California all last week, and they called me Boston right away.
So. Immediately, yeah, you do pick it up. There's certain words. So are you from that area? Is that where you've always been?
I've lived in southeastern Mass most of my life. I lived north of Boston for a couple of years, but most of my time has been down here towards the Cape.
And so you have a very, very large Amazon business, and we'll talk about that. But you didn't start that way. So let's go back and talk about, you know, how do you even become an entrepreneur? I mean, was that something, was your family in entrepreneurs? Was there something that interested you?
My dad was a bit insurance salesman, and very early on, he kind of stepped out of the traditional insurance role and went in and did things on his own. Became like a independent. So I guess that was an entrepreneurial spirit there. He ran a small motel here in Middleborough.
Oh, wow. So
I did see having the independence of running a
business. While he was an insurance agent, he also had the motel?
He did, yes.
That's cool. Now there's somebody who gets it. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. It was a family-run business, so we were all pretty much involved in it. I folded and changed a lot of bed sheets. So.
Did you really? Yeah. I just can't imagine that part of it being fun.
No, it was not enjoyable.
But experience. Still,
for him, he was able to control his environment, so he enjoyed it. You know, I was more on the worker end of it.
And that was probably pretty seasonal, I would assume, right?
It was, especially with us being close to the Cape.
Right, right.
Cape Coast.
So you got a taste of it there. And I mean, when you were growing up, did you do anything on the side, any kind of side business or side hustle?
Small stuff. I did the paper routine, and you know, I remember fifth grade, you know, you think back now, in fifth grade, I was buying squirt guns for 10 cents and bringing them to school and selling them for a quarter.
Nice.
So they'll get my whole log, my biggest log got confiscated, so I put a quick end to that.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think that would play well today, that type of thing wouldn't go over well.
Yes,
better off with the candy route or something like that, yeah.
And then I messed around with starting lineups and trading cards, and so I was always interested in buying low and trying to sell high. So.
And you went to, you went to school for what?
Business management.
Business management. And what did you think that was going to mean?
It's funny. I always kid about that degree because, you know, you can come out with, like you have an accounting degree, I believe. You come out with an accounting degree, you're an accountant. When you come out with a business management degree, you can't step in and say, let me manage your business.
Right.
You know, so I was in retail. It seemed like a natural fit that I worked my way up through retail. They made it financially enticing enough just to keep you there. And stepping out. So I did retail for close to 20 years.
And you have a couple kids. Did they go to college?
They're both in college now. One's a freshman and one's a sophomore in college.
Now, knowing where you're at now with your Amazon business, what do you expect for them from college? Because through this with my younger one, and that's where my mind was going.
They're very specific. They know more. I think they know what they want more. Today, I think they're able to lock in a little bit more and get more on-hand experience. So one is a video game designer.
Oh, very cool.
So very locked in there. He knows exactly what he wants to do when he comes out. The other one has the business skills. He's very interested in the Amazon model, but more in the buying and selling. So he's into finance. I can see him, you know, becoming a stockbroker or something along that line.
Okay. And none of them are expressing interest, though, in the business that you're in.
Probably the younger one, the one that's in the business end of it. I think he gets it more. They've worked for me since I have a picture I meant to forward of you when they were probably 3 or 4 years old carrying boxes downstairs. So they're involved, but neither one of them, unless something evolves into the direction of a field they're interested in. Because you never know with this business.
You never know. And you know, my younger son, I don't think I've told this story. My younger son was in school to be an IT. He was going for computer science, and it was networking or something like that. And, you know, he came to us one day and said, hey, look, you know, I want to trade my major, and I want to change schools. And I'm like, oh, boy. So, you know, it cost me a lot of money. But anyway, he's now in digital media, and is his focus. And let me tell you, right now, him and his friends are right now doing private labels for a bunch of products that we're bringing to market. And it was so cool that they came in last night and to be able to talk that way with them. And I think they're going to use one as a class example. But it was so cool. It was like I was in my element and he was in his element. And
that's really neat.
Yeah. It was you know, as a dad, I mean, it's a very proud moment. It's like, man, and to see the spark in his eyes and, you know, I mean, it was a really cool thing. And my other son, who's much, much older, he came in and we got talking about it, and he's an engineer, but he's also a writer. And one of my products uses something similar, and he's like, now you're in my line. And he was able to give me some advice and some different things. So it's kind of all cool how that kind of can come together. And when it does, I mean, it could be a really big thing. But I think that that's the future, isn't it?
It is. Agree.
I mean, even your son with video games. I mean, what does that mean, right? I mean, let's face it. It's not like he's going to be writing code. I mean, he write code, but it's not like writing code like it used to be, right? It's different. And so his interaction with computers and where your business is going to go, you can't stop it. It's going to go there, right? They're going to start melding, right?
I agree 100%.
The products are going to be in the ads are going to be in the videos, and right? I'm assuming, I haven't looked at a video game in a long, long time, but I assume that there's ad placement in video games by now.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Big time.
Right.
Big time.
So your worlds can collide right there, you know, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it is kind of cool.
And actually, the video game design one has sparked a little bit of interest with this merch by Amazon.
Oh yeah, there you go. Right, that's natural.
So we look in. Yeah, so I mean, they're doing T-shirts now. I think I saw a little leak out of maybe just hoodie sweatshirts, hats will probably be right around the corner. So
yeah, and mugs. And I mean, I think that whole business is going to get disrupted very soon.
I agree. And like that's the world, you know, all right. the logo and the branding in that area.
That's pretty cool. I mean, because in your dad's world, the only way they would have collided was you working at the motel, right? Or yep. you going into the insurance business. It really, or running, I guess, because you have a business management degree, running his business might have been the way it would have happened. But that it just wasn't able to really melt unless it was very specific. Now, I mean, just watch it evolve. And I mean, that's pretty cool. To me, that's a very cool thing about life.
Yeah, and I think we're living in a very exciting time. There's so much explosion going on. There's so much opportunity that it didn't exist. You had to pick a field and learn that field and do your time and that was it. Now it's we're evolving into markets that we don't even know what they're going to be in 2 years.
You do realize this is two 50 plus year old guys yapping about this. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, think about that though. That's Gary Vee always talks about the youngification, right? I it's amazing what I know at my age relative to, the market. And it's, to me, that's the beauty of it. There's really, I mean, you don't feel limited based on your age in this business, do you, in any way?
Not at all. If anything, it might be an advantage because you're bringing some business wisdom to an emerging market. So we might not quite have the technical skills. You know, my son can click around and change a picture six different ways in about 15 seconds. But you bring the business experience. So I think that's where we're able to take advantage of it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love talking to another guy. Okay. So let's talk about eBay, right? You made a jump into eBay. What caused that? I mean, what were you thinking?
I was a district manager for a retail chain, a pharmacy chain. I'm not loving it at all. And I had two boys in diapers. I was probably putting in 60 hours a week. Bringing my laptop home. Laptops had just broken out. That just meant you get to bring home work with
you. And that was expected.
That was expected.
That was expected, right?
If you wanted to excel.
Right.
I know there were guys that did not, but at that stage of the game, I wanted to.
And what would have happened if you didn't excel? At some point, they would write size, downsize, blah, 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 blah. And who made it, right? I mean, that, quite frankly, that's the generation you and I grew up in.
I agree 100%.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I was just burnt out on it. Decided that, I knew retail. I liked the customer service end of it, but once I became a district manager, I wasn't involved in that part of it anymore either. So it was right at the time I'd always messed around with, whether it was selling Hallmark ornaments a little bit. Or, I don't know if you remember the AOL chat boards you could buy and sell on those.
Oh, my
boards.
God, yeah. Yeah.
Creaking open some old closets there. And so I had heard about eBay, and right at the time the pharmacy chain was coming out with their own version of Beanie Babies. It was a seasonal, the Miss Herbie and the Misfits type of thing. And I signed on to eBay, and probably in 2 or 3 weeks I'd made like $1,000 selling them.
No kidding.
Buying them like for $4 or $6 and selling them for, $30 and $40, and I had as many as I wanted.
And where were you shipping them? I mean, at that point.
It was just in the United States. It was all eBay. It was local. It was get the check in the mail. PayPal didn't exist at the time.
Right.
So, and we were just shipping them inside the United States.
And you were doing this all out of your house?
Doing it all out of the house, yeah.
Amazing.
And that was November. I signed up in November of 1998, all the way back in 98. By May of 99, I had given my notice.
Really?
So it was only 6 months later. I was probably, looking back, I was probably pretty crazy.
But why would you make that jump? I mean, what was it? Were you running away from something or running towards something?
I was running towards spending time with my kids.
Okay.
And away from corporate craziness.
So you were running towards a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Not away from, I mean, it when you have a corporate job, right? I mean, there are benefits to it, but there are expectations, and they come with missed birthdays, missed vacations, all the kind of jazz that happens when the crisis happens. And it always happens at the moment you need that time.
And retail is very, very holiday specific. So if it's the holidays, that's your crazy time in retail. So
you missed a whole bunch of stuff.
I missed a lot of stuff. So I actually didn't. And I wasn't like I thought eBay was going to be a career. I remember I left in like April or May and was expecting to go back to work, quotation marks, in September. of 99.
And were you going to do something else then, right? You were going to find something else.
It's just a different, yeah, I just was going to find something that wasn't as much pressure in retail. I just felt pharmacy business at the time was going through a lot of changes, so I thought there was a lot of pressure.
Let me ask this question. Yep. Did you see the eBay, the $1,000, $2,000, whatever you were making, because you saw that now you know how to do that, as a way to take a lesser role with less responsibility so you can have that lifestyle business, right? Is that what you meant? Or were you just going to go get, you know, this will carry me for a month and then I can go find another job and then stop doing eBay? That was what...
I wasn't quite sure if I could meld it too. I was thinking that I might be able to take something with less pay and use eBay to supplement it. So not necessarily take a huge income drop, but nurse this along.
Which is an awesome plan. I think that a lot of people... You know, if you're in that role where it's just awful and, you know, you want to take a step back, but you don't want a lifestyle change, then, you know, eBay and Amazon are pretty good ways to do it. I mean, it's not that hard to make $1,000 on either platform. Agreed?
It isn't now. No. Back then, that was a lot of money. But right now, no. I look at a couple of items we have. I'm like, somebody could take this one item and make a nice supplemental income.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet... take and get control of their life as you were able to do. I think it's a cool story and I applaud you for it, but man, that's a gutsy move.
It was. I look back, I'd be nervous if my children did the same move, but I have to say that my dad had faith in me as a person. So, you know, he knew money. He had chased $1 million insurance salesman route and that wasn't for him either. So maybe, you know, maybe part of that was seeing him because he just took a step back too.
Was he content at the motel? Was he a different person at the motel than he was at the insurance company?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, was it more peaceful?
It was his baby. Yeah, yeah. It was much more family. It was just you hear it so many times on all the Facebook support groups is that if it's your passion, it really isn't work. You know, and that's what it was. So maybe you're putting in a lot more hours, but if you're enjoying it, it's just a different, and if you can, I do retail arbitrage. So our family for growing up for all these years was very involved in it. Our trips were planned around some retail arbitrage.
No kidding. So there've been many vacations planned around that.
Many, yes.
So you were on eBay for a long time.
We were.
And you only started Amazon 2 years ago.
2 years ago this month.
So for let me look back at my notes. For 16 years, eBay was your full-time income.
Yep.
You, personally.
That was it. Yep. Just,
that's crazy. Yep. I mean, that's just crazy.
And I thought we will, and we were. I mean, we were doing really, we had good vacations. We had a nice lifestyle. We weren't killing it, you know, but we were very comfortable.
And you didn't miss out your kids growing up?
No. I was I coached all their baseball games. We took summer trips for a month long at a time to Niagara Falls, to Hershey, Pennsylvania, to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. That's a great story.
It was really, really affording. It afforded some good family time.
And now at this point, your wife was not working in the business, or at some point she joined you?
She did. My wife's an attorney. So she was working part-time. She had a home office here.
And she was just practicing her just local law?
Exactly. Okay. Wills, trusts, wills, estates, estate planning, you know. And it was early on, though. It was probably, so we started in 98. She jumped on board in the early 2001, 2002, probably.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did she support you, by the way, making the jump? I guess I didn't ask that question.
She did, 100%. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it without her support.
How does that conversation go? Hey, I've got this great job and I'm giving us all this income and let's face it. Or did you bring that job home with you every day and she saw it on you?
Yeah, that's exactly it. She knew exactly.
Okay.
So basically my day consisted of, I would leave probably about 7:30 in the morning. The kids were up. Like I said, they were both in diapers. By the time I got home, it was probably 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'd come home. She'd have dinner on the table. I'd bring the boys up, bathe them both, put them to bed, and then come grab my laptop, and that was it probably for the next hour and a half.
No kidding. And every day.
And it was a job that I was probably doing 70% efficiency in my own mind. You know, so that played into it.
So you knew you weren't giving it your all.
Right. Well, I by 70%, I mean, I felt like I was there was so much more that I wasn't getting done that with all.
Okay.
I was giving it everything I had, but I didn't feel like I was doing the job properly.
That's incredible. And so she jumps in and gives up her practice and jumps in. And now at this point, it's still only eBay. Where were you getting your merchandise?
We retail arbitrage. So it was mostly, we were outlets, factory outlet stores.
So you, and, you know, I don't know if we should say the categories that you were in. I guess when I add that video from eBay on there, if I can, if you give me that permission, because it's a great video. There's a great video.
It was clothing and footwear. It was mostly footwear. eBay was all footwear.
Okay, so it was footwear. So you were buying footwear at outlets and putting it up on eBay and selling it for less than retail, but you were buying it so much below wholesale in essence, right?
We were clearance footwear, you know, 90% clearance footwear.
And were you still working out of the house at this point, or had you gotten to the warehouse level?
No, we were working out of the house.
Wow.
In probably in like 2007, we were starting to grow. I always had a shipper. I always had somebody coming in and packing it. I'd do the shopping and all the listings and all the emails, because anybody that's been on eBay knows there's a lot of emails involved. So I was the computer person. I always had a shipper. But then in 2000, and I think it was 2007, we went off site and we got a small little warehouse because we were starting to grow. Brought another full-time employee on, and at that time we were a one-trick pony, maybe two tricks, so we only had two retailers we were working with, and they closed the doors to bulk buying.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a little scary. Your whole family's employment's on that.
Yeah, it was. It was. Luckily, the gentleman that came work for me, he had another opportunity, so he went one way. I did have to lay off my shipper, and things got ugly for a while. Probably for 2 or 3 years.
So is that when the regret starts and you start thinking, you know, why did I do this? I messed this up. How do I get past this? You know, as a guy, that's a hard thing.
If I had a regret, and I definitely did at that point, was that I didn't manage the business properly. You know, I saw the growth because it every year it continued to grow. But unfortunately, I wasn't a good steward at that point. So I always balance how much do I have in the garage and how much am I having on credit cards. And that, with going offsite and bringing extra payroll on, that flipped. And all of a sudden, what I had in my garage was less than what I owed on credit cards. So that was an ugly period.
Okay. So we get through the ugly period. And how do you pull yourself through that and up? I mean, is it put your head down, do the work? Ask for help? Is it, what is it?
I would give that, Dave Ramsey probably was my saving grace during that time.
And so his philosophy of, you know, debt snowball and managing debt and that whole kind of thing, is that what made it work?
That got us through that. And that was 2008, and we've been cash. I'm sorry, that was 2011. It was 2008 as we kind of bottomed out. We had two or three bad years where we were just scraping by, considering even selling the home just to get out from under. And we went to a cash-only basis then, and we've been there ever since.
And so now at 2011, you said, right? That was kind of when you turned.
2011 was our turning point, yeah.
And so how did you keep the eBay business inventory? How did you keep finding it? You just, those two places that you were buying from said no more.
So one of them we leaned more on the other. We were like 70% one and 30% the other. The 30%, we just grew that business. So, and we didn't have a lot of capital to work with, so getting product wasn't all that much of a problem at the time.
Okay.
As our inventory grew, we started paying cash for everything, then the other market opened up again. That same brand became available to us again.
And they knew you were reselling.
They knew we were reselling, yeah.
Awesome.
It was a corporate policy that stopped it, but then the store managers, as in most retailers, if the store manager can sell it to you, they want to sell it to you.
That's right. And if they, when that, you know, you were a district manager, what would happen when your store manager would say, hey, corporate policy, you know, stopped me from doing this thing that we were all making money on?
Yeah.
Then the district managers and those guys rattle the cages above, and hopefully someday, in many cases, and many, my experience, I don't know about yours, I've seen many of those things get rescinded over time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think it's because, but if you're, you know, kind with the relationship, that's what matters. Because usually the person who made that decision turns over at some point, and then somebody new comes in, and then but if you burn that bridge, you're not getting back in. But if you keep that relationship.
You are 100% accurate on all of that, from the from the store manager to the district manager to the regional manager. You know, as long as you have good relations. We had several district managers that were calling us. Hey, we're not going to make our numbers this month.
You were arbitraging before Chris wrote his arbitrage book. All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about how you find out about this little company called Amazon and you start selling on Amazon.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back. You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. SolutionsforEcommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her and most of the time it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plate. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, SolutionsforEcommerce/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you. SolutionsforEcommerce.com. Can you imagine shipping that many items out individually? Man, it just blows my mind to think about that. So we're scaling and we're scaling and we're scaling. And Dan has a very large business and it is very specialized. But I think there are some really key takeaways here that you really want to pay attention to. One of them is when you find a hot brand, bring all their products to market. Lots of products are not in the Amazon catalog, yet the brand is so strong. And so think about the brands that you're selling where, you know, go back and look at your sales and see what's selling and that's really selling well. And then find products of that brand and bring them to market. And you're going to have a lot of success because of that name recognition. I just think that is such a common sense thing to say it out loud, but it's like, huh, that's where the effort should be. And I love it. And I think he's just done a great job with it. Smart guy. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Dan Wentworth, and I love the story. I'm just loving it because to scale, to support a pretty large family in a not a cheap place to live for 16 years is a pretty impressive feat, Dan. I mean, that's not something to be looked at lightly. That's a pretty impressive feat. It's not like you were doing the yard sale route, right, and finding things for a dollar and selling them for, you know, $20. I mean, you're buying discounted stuff, but you're buying, you have to do some volume.
Yeah. We had some higher ticket items, and we did start, you know, in the early days with the yard sales, but yeah, we were buying more expensive footwear.
Right. And then selling it. Okay. All right. So when did you find out about Amazon?
So Amazon was just over 2 years ago. We were doing burying our head in eBay, just selling shoes, what we always did.
Out of this small warehouse still?
I had moved back into the house.
Oh, okay. So you're now in the house. House is full of shoes.
Yep. We were just getting a little too big for the garage. So I had brought on a full-timer back. We were getting big enough that I could support that. He started part-time, ended up full-time. And we were selling one particular shoe we were selling. One customer bought about 10 of them in September, October range of 2 years ago.
And, all the and, same size?
Different sizes, but he had me ship them to all different addresses.
So you're like, whoa, something's here going on. That's a drop shipper, isn't it?
So we were buying the shit. I didn't know what the term drop ship was at the time. So we were buying them for about $40. We were selling them for about $80. And so then I tracked him down, and he was selling them on Amazon for $120.
Now, how did you figure that out?
It just made sense. I don't know why Amazon didn't make sense to me before. I thought I had applied to Amazon or looked into Amazon, and I thought it was closed to footwear. So then I just went on and looked. I knew he had to be selling them somewhere.
Okay.
So Amazon just became a natural place for me to go look.
And so what he was selling for $120, you say?
$120, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think he was making? I mean, he wasn't making that much money.
He was probably making about $20 a shoe.
Oh, okay. Oh, $20. I mean, on an $80 purchase, not a bad return.
No.
And he never touched it.
He never touched it.
He never touched it. That's a better return, right? There's so you're like, can I take out the middleman, meaning you,
right,
out of that picture and do it yourself? And how do you get that started?
So we went right to, I wrote to Amazon. At the time it was, you know, I don't know, but the application process has seemed to evolve over the last 2 years to be quite a different animal. But so I put in an application. They were looking for us, what we were doing currently. So I told them we had actually reached the sales of $1 million on eBay.
Which is incredible. I mean, think about it. It's incredible. I mean, that's a lot of shipping. I mean, how many packages were you shipping a day?
One package at a time. We were probably on Mondays, we had 350, 400 packages.
Oh, my God.
All wrapped individually bags, you know, myself a full-timer, my wife, and then a part-timer.
Wow. And so you, Amazon salivates over you, because that's about the time I started FBA too, is about 2011. Or did you start FBA then?
No, we didn't know. So we didn't know what we didn't know. We just knew Amazon was the way. So we worked with someone had us do a flat file upload, which I had never heard the term flat file before either, of our inventory that we wanted to sell. So we just randomly picked about 100 items and sent them up there, and they started popping right away. So,
You were merchant fulfilling them then too?
Merchant fulfilling. And so I dug in right away, again, having no knowledge of Amazon whatsoever, and I heard of FBA. And we're going to try sending a few items up. Within a month, we knew that was the answer. So our motto became, get the FBA out of here.
That's a good one. Because there's a merch shirt right there. Get the FBA out of here, right? There's a merch shirt. You know, thinking about that, when you look back, what was the bottleneck in your business? It was the merchant fulfillment operation, right?
Right. That was the bottleneck. We just couldn't get ship them out fast enough.
What did your post office think of you guys? Well, you were pounding them, or UPS. I don't know which one you were using heavier, but
we were using the post office. They actually loved us.
Okay.
Because they set up a special account for us, and we were driving a lot of business through them. So
they were sad to see FBA come in, right?
They, you know, you would have thought that. We never got a phone call.
Yeah, see, that's the mistake, right? You know, there you go. That's why, no politics here.
They were picking up 350, 400 packages on a Monday morning, and now they're coming and getting 8.
And you think they would say, hey, what's going on? How can we help you with your business? Nope.
Nobody. 6 months before they stopped sending a special truck, you know.
Yeah. So FBA starts taking off for you, and you're still in the shoe business at that point. When did you start getting into the clothing business?
So it was January 5th, it was 2 years ago, so that would be 15, and it was probably September. I just happened to walk into another retailer. I had blinders on, but he used to work for the footwear company. I said, he said, how's it going in your retailer? I said, good. I'm always looking. He goes, oh, we do bulk buyers here. I said, you do? He said, oh, yeah, we have a guy that comes in and spends $10,000 at a pop. So light bulb went off there, didn't dawn over Marblehead, and off we were up and running with that particular retailer. So that now it's probably apparel is probably 40% of our business,
and shoes are about 40% too.
Probably about the 40. Then we do some equipment and basically whatever we find if we're out in the outlets.
So now looking at your business, You at that time you were pretty much still all in Massachusetts there, right? That's where it was going.
Yeah.
How do you expand in, because you're not busy enough? How do you expand into another state? I mean, it's not like you expanded in another town; you expanded in another state.
Well, so basically, what would happen is we were still now our ability to grow became getting product.
Okay, so the bottleneck is gone.
Right. So now it's like a wood stove, and as fast as we can fire with FBA, as fast as you can fire it into that wood stove, as long as you're buying good profitable product, you can send it out. So we had our sales down in all the retailers. We had good relationships. We'd get phone calls. So as soon as the sale was on, we had four teams now that we'd send out, four teams of two. And so we'd just scour the whole New England area, actually, any store we could get to within a day.
And it was a list of the same stores?
It was all the same stores.
Okay, you know, so you had a few different stores, but you knew of, you know, 60 locations or whatever it was.
Exactly. You know, not quite that many, but probably 15.
Okay, and so you would give them a list or a scanner?
No, a scanner. So by the time Amazon came along, we had jumped right in with Inventory Lab, so we were using Scoutify, and we had a lot of communication going. As the newer shoppers would come on board, they would call and tell us what the product was or send us a picture of it or FaceTime with it. And we would give the more experienced shoppers would give the thumbs up or thumbs down whether to buy it. We weren't afraid to go deep, and we still aren't to this day.
And what does deep mean to you?
Deep means we'll get 60 or 80 of a style.
Of a pair of shoes?
Of one pair of shoes. One color, one style, yeah.
Sizes? Do you?
Sizes. We're pretty flexible.
Okay.
You know, we might stay away from the little, real small or real big, but you know, if you're a woman, we're going from size 6 up to size 10. If you're a man, you're going from size 8 up to size 13.
Right, right.
And so 60 or 80 isn't that bad because you've got all the variations.
Right, right. And yeah, especially if there's multiple colors, then it can really get to be one or two of each, really not. And because, you know, think about it, if you buy wholesale, you're only getting one or two pairs of a particular size in a case. That's the way they do it, you know, and so... Okay, so you now send out teams, and these are local people you hired?
Local people we hired, yeah.
How are you paying them?
How or what?
How?
All hourly.
So hourly, a set wage. No incentive?
I have a full-timer that who runs my business now, basically. He's my GM. He's fully piece of the pie. He's straight incentive.
Okay.
The rest of them get a small piece at the end of each month.
Okay, based on how well they did, is it towards a goal or just overall how much retail dollars
It's profit. So they get a piece of profit at the end of the month.
Okay, so, and I've had lots of people tell me multiple different ways. How do you track the profit ability of Steve, the buyer, for you?
We don't individually track them.
Okay.
So we're all one pie, and everybody gets a piece of that same pie.
So it's basically a profit sharing plan then?
It is, exactly. Okay. What it is. Yeah.
And so how do you handle when one is more capable than the other? So Steve isn't pulling his weight. How do you handle that? And I don't know whether you've run into that yet.
It's running. We have, but that's into, we'll do reviews every 6 months or so.
Okay. Okay.
So it's more of a reward for the one, you know, because they're hourly plus plus profit share.
So you could reduce the hours if I'm not pulling my weight, you might not give me as many hours in essence.
Or we might give more per hour to the person who is.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you're paying attention to that. Okay. So at this point, the business is growing good and everything. Yeah. How do you get to that other state?
So we had pretty much scoured our area when a sale hit. So we were just running out of product still. I had one of the guys that worked for me had family out in Chicago. I took a trip out to Chicago. That market was not really tapped. You know, you might have had one or two bulk buyers, but it seems like in so many areas, I mean, Fort Worth is pretty competitive now, so you do run into the guys buying the same product. But there's so many different, some might be sending them overseas, some have a neighborhood shop that they're selling them out of. So a lot of times they're looking for different products. So we sent this employee out to Chicago, set him up out there, and he's just duplicating what we do here in Chicago.
Now, do you have a different warehouse there?
We do. We actually were lucky enough to have one of his family members rented us something fairly cheap.
And so you're able to basically do everything they do, and they run it through and send it in. So now, whose money are they using to buy all this stuff?
All mine. We've got corporate credit card, which we called Dave Ramsey for all those years. That was a wrestle with my wife to get a corporate card. But so we have 10 or 12 names on the same account. So he goes out and buys with our money.
And then it gets entered into your account, gets shipped up to Amazon in your name. Everything about it is yours.
Exactly.
And then you guys handle the bookkeeping and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, he's straight commission. So he's incentivized.
Are you comfortable in saying the commission percentage? Yeah. You don't have to.
We give him 30% of the profit that he makes.
30% of the profit.
He does very well.
Yeah, I was going to say, but is it the profit of what his location brings in?
Yes. So okay. We're taking all his expenses. Basically, we're taking all the, because he'll hire employees. He might have a sharper go out with him. He might have somebody processing back at his warehouse.
And so he's got to come up against that cost.
Exactly.
Okay. So he's got a purchase cost. He's got a place you rent, whatever expenses are related to that. Then other employees and related expenses.
Yeah.
And transportation and all that kind of jazz. That all gets brought in. Sales are, how do you track your sales by location? That's interesting.
It's pretty neat, actually. We use Inventory Lab.
Right.
And we buy supplier.
So the supplier is a location you're using, or the supplier is a salesperson?
We use a brand and then dash the sales location.
The sales location. And so you're able to run a report at the end of the month, and it shows you the profitability for that.
Right. So he might have four different stores, five different brands that he's shopping out there. So they'll match up. It's actually, Inventory Labs is great for this because we can match up his ROI on our return on investment and see exactly how he's doing for each brand.
And you're getting it to see it in comparing it, and you can say, hey, this isn't, you know, you're back to being you do understand you're back to being a district manager.
Yes.
You do realize that. You've come full circle. I'm sitting here thinking about that. I'm like, you're looking at your laptop at night, aren't you?
Yes, you're 100% on that. But I do have my general manager pretty much runs the show. I'm free to chase new adventures.
No, I get it, but it's just so funny. That skill set that you've learned, this is a Joy Packard moment. One thing leads to another, Steve. All right, here we go. We've come full circle, and that skill set that you've learned, you're able to bring back, and now you're doing it at your terms on your time, right? It's not like you're up late at night having to do this. You might be, but you might have slept in, right? It's not the same.
Right. No, you're right. It isn't the same, but I hadn't thought of that until you just pointed it out. But
that's funny. That's really funny. That's cool, though. I mean, it's very cool. And so, again, you're not satisfied being busy enough. You want another location. And hence the reason we had to schedule the difficulty, because you're a busy man.
Well, yeah. So it worked out really well. It was a test. We had no idea whether it was going to work or not. You know, what we threw it out there. We said, don't have a lot to lose.
Before we go past that, why does it work so well? Because I guarantee you somebody's going to be like, why didn't you ask him this, Steve? Why does it work so well? Is it him? Or is it the leadership?
He's just copying our formula, I think. We have such a good system in place here that all he needed to do is do the same thing out there.
And he was adept enough to do that.
He was. You know, he's a young guy. He's 25 years old. I'm 24 in college. So he's a hustler. He's intelligent. And I have to say, to make a move like this, it has to be somebody you trust implicitly.
Right.
You know, and so... You know, it's not something that we could just stop popping out franchises type of setup, you know, because it has to be the right person at the right place at the right time and somebody we trust and love. So
That's cool. So, all right. I just wanted to make sure that we answered that question. What makes it work? So it's trust, love, in your case, your term, and a very strong relationship. How's the communication work?
We have less than I thought we were going to.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. It's good that it's not needed. I miss them. You know what I mean? He was part of our family. He actually lived with us for a while when he's working out with us here. So I've lost a little bit of the relationship, but it's takes care of itself because we're able, through Inventory Labs, we're able to monitor his product, exactly what he bought, what he's paying for it. So there isn't too much. We do try to have a meeting. You know, we aim for every couple of weeks, but it's probably more one a month.
Okay.
We have a group conference call where we bring everybody up to speed. We're doing a lot more with Flat File now, so there is some training involved bringing him up to speed.
Is there any pitfalls that you ran into that you could advise somebody who's thinking about this that, you know, hey, this didn't, we thought this would work, this piece of it, and it didn't?
The only part that, and it wasn't a major part, but it was we sent a vehicle out with him. And we were going to pay for the vehicle and the expense of registering and insuring a vehicle in another state on a business is cost prohibitive.
Okay.
So that was a minor flaw. You know, we brought the vehicle back and just now we compensate him for his vehicle.
Right. Just a, you know, a reimbursement, right? Yeah. That makes sense. And that's easier. And it's a lot easier to track, right?
A lot cleaner, yeah.
Yeah, a lot cleaner. And especially in another state, you don't know maintenance and all that kind of jazz. So that's perfect. Right. Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to lose that. As we were talking about the third location, again, because you're not busy enough, you need to add a third location.
Well, it's funny because we picked up, I guess I should throw this in here too. So in addition to, with doing the retail arbitrage, we were limited to as many are. If it scans, we're selling. If it doesn't scan, we're out. And so we've gotten a couple of our guys, the guy who's running my shop, Adam, and another guy, Brett, have gotten really good at creating items. That aren't in the system.
Okay, so
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I didn't understand what you meant by that. If it scans, you buy it?
If you're using Scoutify, if you're using Scan Power and you go in and you can't scan a size 7 on a shoe.
Right.
Many other Amazon sellers that we run into won't touch it because it's right. Not right. So we're getting very adept at going in and creating the listings.
So pause there for a second. Yep. So are you looking at the size 8 to see that there's a rank and that there's a listing, or is this shoe just a brand new brand that's not selling?
Both. If the 8 isn't in, it's a simple list.
If
it's just the size, we can add that, no problem. But if we know if it's a good brand, and now we've gotten that way with clothing much more too. If we know it's a nice Argyle sweater, and last year we sold almost the exact same one, but now it's just a different one that isn't in the system yet. We'll be the guys to go in and create it.
But it's a brand that does exist. So you're not taking new brands to market.
No, we are not taking new brands to
market. And I was thinking about that. When you talked about how many SKUs do you have in the shoes?
A lot. We have probably about 3,000 active.
3,000 active. How many brands does that represent?
7 with 3.
There's the brilliance right there. Okay, so I'm going to pause for a pro moment here. Listen again what he said. You have 7 brands and 3,000 active SKUs.
Right.
That's the lesson. There are thousands. I mean, I go to shoe shows all the time. There are thousands of brands of shoes that you've never heard of. And there's a reason you never heard of them because people don't buy them, right? And so that is a big lesson right there. And I would suggest that that's one of the reasons you've been so successful is because you've really stayed in your lane. And, you know, I'm guilty of it too, is I have a lot of brands that are kind of neat. Oh, nice looking shoe. And they don't sell, you know, so yeah. Didn't want to cut you off, but that's a big tip.
That is a good point because we'll smother a brand once we know it's a hit. You know, if we know a particular brand is good, then we'll go very wide in that brand.
What are you doing about, you know, you saw shoes.com, I think went bankrupt. Who was the other one that Sierra Trading now is laying off people. Shoes are a struggle in e-commerce. Right. What are you doing about the price fluctuations? I mean, there are real significant drops in shoes, right?
There are. A lot of it is it's dependent on getting it to the market quick, you know, because we're still not buying if it's not a hit. The brands that we're chasing give pretty significant markdowns. It does end up, the deeper we go, the more of a race to the bottom it is. But hopefully we've made our money up front.
Right. You know? If you bought it right, you could ride it down a long way, right? That's a Matt Kelly strategy too, right? If you bought it at the right price, you could ride it. It's a long way down till break even.
And that comes into play for the same thing for creating an item. Once we've created the listing, whether it's in clothing, there'll be others that jump on board because now it's going to start scanning for them in the stores.
Right.
But it's best to be first in. Sam Cohen is the one, you know, I took his lead in that. He says, if you can create content, if you can create listings for clothing, you can own the market for a while. So it's
for a while, right?
And last in.
And so deep, if you bought 50 units on that, you know, you're going to go through it pretty quick if it's a good listing and everything's right and, you know, good brand in that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Sometimes they go cheap and everybody gets them. So we just, you know, that's probably one of our biggest opportunities. I think we have about 13,000 units up in the FBA warehouse. And I think we're ready to get hit with about 1,000 of them for long-term storage in February.
Oh, that's not bad at all. So that's I've been pulling inventory back. I'm getting a large shipment back tomorrow. It's like, ooh, yeah. A little painful. So you're going to another state. You're saying, hey, I want to go elsewhere.
So we were crazy busy going into the holiday. It was late October, so we were looking to bring somebody on, but we knew we didn't really want to bring another full-timer on in case it was a slow time. And my nephew happened to come up to me and say, hey, you know, I'm moving out to California. I'd love to do what you do out in California. Now, keep in mind, we've trained probably 7 or 8 people through our warehouse to go off and do this business on their own. All we've asked them to do is not sell the same brands that we sell.
Yeah, you created competitors, and you just are clear with the expectation.
Exactly, yeah. So they're friends, family members, people, relations that we've met through Facebook or other situations. We bring them in, we train them up. So I thought that's what my nephew was looking to do. I didn't know he was looking, you know, to work for us. So when he explained it, he said, no, I'd like to duplicate what you're doing in Chicago, out in California. Huh.
Does that mean he wants to run a business? I mean, does he see that kind of the way, rather than having to sweat? I mean, let's face it, you know, sweating the money side, it's a big deal. You're putting out huge amounts of cash. I mean, you know, you're not buying, when you sell, you know, the multiple millions you're selling, you're putting out a lot of money, right? And that's a stressor in itself, as we all know. But running a business takes a different approach when you don't have to worry about the money. Right. If you just give me the box to play in and say, hey, you know, here you go. Do you see a different skill set in him?
I do. It's difficult to tell. He's another young one. He's 24, 25. So we see I used to have a term in when I worked at the pharmacies, hire the smile and teach him the rest. And it's a simplified way of saying if somebody's got the right attitude and the right determination and the right work ethic, the rest of it's going
to
come in.
You're back to this district manager job again. There we go. We're back to it again. But it's the truth. That's a skill set you learn to recognize that it's not necessarily the pedigree on the resume, right? I agree with you. Most of it is attitude.
So we can teach him the rest. We have a system in place that, you know, as long as he follows it, we have noticed that Andrew out in Chicago has become a business manager.
Really?
In the year that he's been out there, he's running his business now like it's a business. So
that's got to be a pretty cool thing, again, especially if somebody that you love, to see them rise up to that, because you're teaching him how to fish forever.
Exactly. Right? And that's what we've encouraged everybody coming up through. I say, as much as we love our company and you know, we have a great group of people, that at some point they're going to be able to do this on their own, you know.
And you're comfortable with that. That's, you know, let me tell you, I talk to a lot of people, as you know, I like to talk. That's not one thing I hear from a lot of people. They're not comfortable with that. That's one of the things that's really uncomfortable for people. How do you get past that?
There's just so much out there. I mean, as you can see, our business is thriving, you know, so, you know, if I'm going to run the risk of losing a little bit of my business, so somebody else, there's a cost benefit to everything. I've always analyzed things that way. And the cost to us, if we did lose someone, the benefit to them, you know, as long as they didn't, you know, they're not a direct competitor, that's all we ask. We don't see them in the same standing at the
But you're not store. Making them sign an agreement or a non-compete and all that kind of jazz.
We are not, no.
Right.
No. You know, as we get bigger, you know, maybe there's a time because, you know, the further you step out, so we have Andrew out in Chicago, we're going to have Ian out in California, they're going to be hiring employees. We're going to lose a little bit of control over what type of, you know, we know everybody that's come on board and they're great choices, but you do run that risk. But again, it's a risk that we're willing to take. There's such an abundance for us. We've been so blessed that how can we not share it?
Well, now you're, you know, one of the things I think of Will Chernlin has talked about and his brother Andrew, that when you start running a $10 million operation, it's a different business. It's not relative to anything that you would have seen early on, because now you have HR issues and you've got some real issues.
Right.
What do you see as your role going forward, right? You're going to grow your business a huge amount again this year, and it won't be that long until you're at that level. What do you see your role? Are you defining your role? I mean, are you setting your role up in the future for where you want to be?
Yeah, I would like to be less involved in the day-to-day operations. and more involved in finding new business. I'm very, very intrigued. I'm taking Andy's and Nathan and Leron's private label course. I'm very interested in forging into new areas. Since this system is running pretty good, Adam, who's running the show for us here, I see him developing into the managing the company role more than myself.
And you took it a step further. We talked pre-show. You actually are signed up for Andy's retreat in Breckenridge.
I am, yes. Yeah, I'm really looking forward
to that. I don't know that he announced it. He wants me to announce it shortly, okay. And I just haven't created the commercial for it yet. But his last retreat, I was fortunate enough to be there, and I'll be at the one in May. It's an incredible place. I mean, I don't know if he's shown you the pictures of the house.
I saw one originally when I signed up.
Oh, my God. You will not believe this place. I mean, it is incredible. And, you know, the experience is just amazing. I mean, it's one of those life-altering experiences. But the best part, though, is it's one-on-one, you know. And we're only, I don't know how many people he's going to have come to this, but the three of them and me, and then we were there person by person and spending time with them. And it was an amazing experience. And the people, I'm in the group, from the older group, and the work that they've done, I can't believe how many products they've brought to life, and it shocks me. And it's just so cool to see. It's really, really impressive. I'm impressed that you took that step. Here you are. Now, here's another pro tip. He's got a thriving business, doing many, many millions, opening a third location, and he's working on something else. And it's not just to be busy. I'm teasing about being busy. You're building a business, right? You're not building a hobby.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It is a business now, but it feels like a hobby because, you know, when you enjoy something as much as, you know, it's all exciting. There are, obviously, as you mentioned, there are the headaches. The more employees you have, you're going to have HR issues, but if you're really passionate about it, it's like a hobby.
Well, I'm very impressed. I love the story. I love how you've taken it this far. RA isn't easy.
No.
Is it getting harder?
For us, it is not actually. And here's something we had spoken before, and you had mentioned if there's a word of advice I could give out in RA right now, if you can, there's opportunity out there with good brands that are not being sold on Amazon yet. If you can almost treat them like a private label. Hmm. And go in and create the content for them. There's still plenty of opportunity.
Create the content, though. I love it. I love that term.
Yeah. And the opportunity is that those were retail arbitrage for us, for our entire eBay career and most the beginning of the Amazon one, it was always one and done. So you're chasing new product all the time because it's on clearance, you're buying it, it's going out of stock, you're not replenishing it. By creating product or creating content product, now it becomes replenishable.
Right.
So we had, as much as we did just under 5 million last year on Amazon.
All RA.
All our 100% RA.
Say that again. Just under 5 million.
Just under 5 million on Amazon.
100% RA.
100% RA.
It's crazy.
I'll throw in 2% OA.
Okay.
If a particular brand we were selling, we noticed they had a coupon on sale or something, but that was, you know, negligent. But we feel like we missed a ton of opportunity by the product that we added was all could have been bought again. But with 3,000 SKUs, it's difficult. And that's an opportunity for us for 2017 for Adam is to find out how we keep track of this, that we know when this, because retailers are very cyclical. They have 40% off this department, 40% off that department. They just move the eggshell around so they make their bottom line. So to know when to buy into the replenishable products in the retailers is a big opportunity for us. That's why we're expecting more growth in 2017. We expect to have a better grip on that.
Now, you know, what I get intrigued with is I have people that, you know, tell me they can't find products to sell. And here you're able to, you know, to take a $5 million business and grow it. And you're not having any challenge in finding products to sell. What are your barriers now?
Capital's always a barrier.
Okay, cash flow is brutal, right?
Always, because it all depends on how much you want to keep tied up in inventory.
And that's a battle.
Yeah, it is.
It's almost an art form, almost. So you're a CFO.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too. I feel like I don't have the CFO qualifications though, so I'd like to have a part-time CFO come in and give me a little help there.
That's interesting.
I would say the capital is one thing too, and then just the predicting how busy it's going to be. So we might go out and do a shop, and you know we'll bring in literally 2,000 pairs of shoes in 3 or 4 days. So now we're bottlenecked that we need to process these shoes and get them up before we can go out and probably fully take advantage of that sale that went out.
2,000 pairs in 3 days.
Yeah, 3 or 4 days. Yeah.
And that's how many buyers?
That is 4 teams usually.
4 teams of 2.
4 teams of 2.
And you recommend having the team of 2 for speed, right?
Actually, you know what it is? For the longest time, I didn't. It is for most retailers now, if you are running into any limitations, and this for a lot of the RAs will know this without getting into specific brand, but they'll limit you on how many you can buy of a certain style or a certain, or per transaction. You might go to a store and only be able to get 25 articles of clothing.
Right.
If you're going with 2 people, you're saving, you're only taking 1 vehicle and you're getting the 50, or you're getting 20 of each style instead of 10 of each style.
And are you using, and I don't want to get specific here, but are you using the techniques of discount gift cards and things like that?
We do. Okay. Whenever we can, we take advantage of those.
So something that might be marginally profitable can become plentiful profitable.
We don't usually put that into our buy-sell equation because it's not predictable enough. You know, we might go out and buy, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 worth of gift cards at a decent discount. But if you're buying 2,000 pairs of shoes, you're going to spend $60,000, right? $50,000, $60,000. So we run out of that. So instead of keeping track of it that way, we just kind of consider the gift card a bump.
Okay. All right. Good. So that makes it, you know, again, that allows you the ability to take the price down and still, right, still maintain, yeah, it. Okay. Love it. Okay. So, you know, I always ask, you know, about, you know, the goal of the podcast is to move people forward, but I'm going to ask you for a couple, because I think you've got a couple, you know, you've been doing it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I want to speak to specifically RA people, you know, here, because I think, you know, A, you're new to private label, you're not experienced in that, but you've been doing the RA model for so long and you've been doing it for so successful. I mean, A, to sell $1 million on eBay is a huge accomplishment. I mean, you're one of very few. But then to take this Amazon business in 2 years and grow it to this level, all with that same thing, with again, the 7 brands, there's the lesson, right? In the shoe size anyway. What's your advice? You know, what would you be saying to your, you know, your nephew out in California? I mean, other than just copying the model, what's the stuff that you can say to somebody who's probably getting stuck because they're not having the success you are?
Probably a couple of things. It's difficult to know a specific situation that they're in, but I would say one thing is mentioning, like I said, treating the name brands like a private label. So going in and taking the time, and I don't know that there's a lot out there that are teaching flat file uploading of creating brands. I don't know if that's an opportunity. We've got 2 very skilled people to do that, and that's a savior for us, but
You can hire somebody. There are Karen Lockers, who she's okay. One of my sponsors. And so if you use Momentum, you do get a discount. But she's perfect. I just had her do a variation for me yesterday. And it wasn't her. It was one of her people that worked for her. I'm like, hey, could you? It was a jacket. And can you add the color and variation? Boom.
Can they go from scratch as well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She creates listings. And she'll actually create eBay listings, too. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think she's getting ready to do the Walmart listings too, and she'll do the flat file uploads and all that kind of. Actually, right now she's pulling back my inventory too, so she works on both sides. But that you can hire that, and that's the person that I know of, and I recommend because I use her. I personally use her. I pay her, and she does it.
And then that would be one of my recommendations. And then also, we found a 7th brand, which we just dipped our feet in the water in September, and by December we were all in. Was when you're doing, we do some pay-per-click and we find other keywords if you're searching, and I'm going to use brands that I'm not. If I'm seeing, you know, if I'm doing selling Hanes and all of a sudden when we see Fruit of the Loom popping up all the time, we know that Fruit of the Loom is a popular item. So then we'll go in and try to check that. And that's how we found our most recent brand.
So let's pull that all the way through. So you see Fruit of the Loom and they're popping up as sponsored ads on your Hanes listings, right?
Right. They're looking up, they're they're popping up as keywords.
Okay, so what does that tell you?
It tells me that a lot of people are searching for Fruit of the Loom.
Okay.
Products.
And so what can you do with that information?
Start looking into whether Fruit of the Loom is a marketable item.
Okay. Okay, so that's how you identify another brand. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then the other one too would be to is and I know this is a difficult step for so many people is to hire someone to do the tasks that are taking all your time. You only have so much energy. And if you're burning it up packing for 4 hours a day and listing for 2 hours a day, you don't have a lot of fresh energy to go out shopping, finding new product.
How do you get past the, I know the answer, but how do you get past the point, I can't really afford anybody right now, Dan. I mean, I'm not making a lot of money and I can't afford to bring somebody in for 3-4 hours a day.
If you can just do it for that one day, that's what I would say.
That's a good idea. One day a week.
One day, and just that's your dedicated day to going out finding new product. Hmm. And I think you'll find out very quickly that day's going to pay for itself.
And then you can eventually add a second day and then the third day. That's a great piece of advice. I love that.
The Adam who's running our show now, he started 2 days a week. Then it went to 3, then it went to 5, and then it went to full time, and now he's general manager, vice president.
And so when you have him 2 days a week, generally the hours that he's working. Right. I mean, that's right. When you have limited hours, they're generally working for that all that time. It's not like they're, telling you about the weekend and all that kind of jazz. Right.
Right. If it is with side by side when he is. But yeah, you're right. You're getting productivity out of those hours.
That's a good piece of advice. All right. What would you like to leave us with? Any thoughts? Here's somebody who's been doing it for a long time. You've got a breadth of experience. I'm not calling you old. You have a breadth of experience. You're back to that district manager role, though. I do want to remind you that. It's pretty cool, though, that you've seen, both sides of the coin, and you're now able to set your crew up for success. Anything you want to leave us with?
Well, I guess I would say that it's find out what you're passionate about, and I know that's a cliche, but there are so many opportunities now on Amazon, whether it's RA, whether it's OA, whether it's private label, whether it's wholesale.
Merch,
find one that
a million.
Yeah,
things.
Merch is Chris has a bunch of them that he's addressing. There's just all kinds of opportunities. So I would find the one that intrigues you. Excuse me, that intrigues you and chase that one.
And go all in.
If it's work, then it's not going to be. You're not going to grow it like you should.
Yeah, that state of flow when you found that thing that you're really. It just doesn't seem like work. That's the thing you want to go 10x on, right? That's that piece of it, and then hire out the difference. And that's what you've been able to do, and it's worked really well for you. Exactly. Somebody has a question they want to follow up. Can I pop out your Facebook contact?
Absolutely. Feel free to reach out. I don't have any services that I provide, but I'd be more than welcome to give any advice I can to anybody who wants to ask.
Dan's relatively new to these Facebook groups, right? This is relatively new, but you are going to be in Vegas at ASD and Prosper. And
my first
show. Yep, your first show, and you're going to be hanging out with us, which is pretty cool. And then I'm going to see you again in May for Andy's Breckenridge Retreat. If there's anyone who's interested, and I'll be doing a commercial for it pretty soon for Andy's Breckenridge Retreat. There is not a lot of slots, and it's expensive, but it's all-encompassing. I mean, it's all-encompassing. Shoot me a note, and I can get you a little bit of an insight into it, but I will be doing a commercial for it. So, man, Dan, I appreciate you taking the time. I love the story. I love that you've designed a life. I love that you took the time 18 years ago to design a life. To me, not that we're not that different in age. I wish I would have done the same. I took the corporate route my whole, but grad school, everything. Not that I'm regretting it. I'm just saying, I think back about it, the things that I've missed, the vacations that I've gotten called back from, flown back from, got to be here for this crisis, that kind of jazz. And you were able to figure that out so long ago. And that's a very, very cool thing. And I really appreciate that.
I think we're right where we're supposed to be. Hmm. We're all in the place we're supposed to be. But one last thing, if I could throw us even.
Go for it.
Your podcasts. Listen up. I've gone back now. I don't know if you're at 150 yet or not, but.
I'll be 170-something this week, maybe.
I turned on to them 2 months ago every single one of them is a jewel. I take something out of every one. So that would be, you ask for recommendations, that would be one. I would highly recommend people just go back and there's, if you're interviewing someone for the second time, I stop, go back to the first one, get their history, and then and listen to the second.
And it, to me, that's why I love the second interview, because I loved what they were going to do and they had a plan and it changed, because it will, right? Because yes. Life happens. And they were able to adapt. That's if you, once you figure out that you can adapt and that we all need to adapt, that's when real change happens with people. And man, I just love when I see change happening for people. So very kind of you. Thank you very much. Can't wait to meet you face to face. I'm excited about it. And man, I just wish you nothing but success. I know you're going to continue to be. Can't wait to meet you.
Thank you very much. Family very mutual.
Take care.
Are you looking for inventory this time of year?
I have just the answer. It's called The List.
Yep,
that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.